It's a new year. I'm Gab. He's Jules. Jules, we have a really packed show today, as I often say every time we do a show. But this time, it's real because we're going to talk a bit of Atletico Madrid. Yes, going on. Luis Suarez scoring. We'll talk Spurs. Arsenal doing a little bit better. We'll talk Juve. We'll talk Ronaldo. Lots of stuff to go. But I think we need to start at Stamford Bridge. You were there.
Yep.
Mark Ogden, who joins us, was there. City unleashed a can of whoop-ass on Chelsea in the first half and ended up 3-1 winners. Mark, this felt to me, and I only watched on television, as if I was traveling back in time to 2018-19, something like that. They were that impressive. And they did it, let's not forget, with a bunch of players out. Maybe not necessarily key players, but you're talking Jesus, you're talking Aguero, you're talking Ferran Torres, you're talking Ake, you're talking Laporte, you're talking Ederson. So guys who would have at least given Pep some options, he really didn't have much options other than the 11 that he actually played. And I thought that was also really impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have to factor in the disruption as well that City have had this week. You know, the training ground was closed for a couple of days. So it's been a difficult week for City. And I think, you know, Pep really showed his quality yesterday. He managed to get a fantastic performance out of a group of players, which wouldn't be his first choice team. I think he, you know, putting De Bruyne as a false nine and just, he did. Chelsea were terrible, let's be honest. Chelsea helped City be brilliant yesterday, but you can't take away from the fact that City was so good and they moved the ball so quickly. And it was a devastating performance. And to me, it showed that there are two teams in the Premier League that can maybe go and win 10, 12 games on the bounce, and that's Liverpool and Man City. So people suggesting that this title race is between Liverpool and Man United, I think we've got a factor in Man City as well, because City can go on a run of games and perform like that every week.
I should also point out Leicester, a single point back. I'm wondering, though, just before we go to Chelsea, is it easier for them to move the ball quickly and play in this way when Aguero and Jesus aren't there?
I think it's easy when Aguero's not there. I think Jesus helps play that way a little bit more than Aguero. But no, you know, De Bruyne was interested in that role yesterday. I think he played well. I think when Aguero plays, it's a slightly different way of playing because he's not as mobile as he used to be. He does more work than he did, you know, under Pellegrini, but he still isn't the sort of player that Pep would ideally want in that role. But, you know, City could have moved it quicker if Fernandinho was in ahead of Rodri. I thought Rodri was at a difficult start, but grew into the game. Look, City have got a very good squad, and I think that was evident yesterday. People have talked about the strongest 11 ones available, but they've got a squad of 25 top-quality players, and it showed. You know, Phil Foden, again, great goal he scored yesterday. They're a really, really strong squad, and it's just taken a while for them to get going this season.
Jules, last night on the FC show, the consensus among the other lads seemed to be, well, City, where it was more a case of City being great than Chelsea being terrible. Mark said Chelsea were terrible. They certainly didn't look good to me at all in the first, certainly for the first 45 minutes to an hour. In fact, I was surprised at the choices Lampard made in terms of the way they set up.
Completely. I mean, I think City were that good that they were almost unplayable for anyone who could have faced them. However, you're right, I think Lampard got it completely wrong. I spoke to Thiago Silva after the game. He said maybe the approach to the game was wrong. There was too much space between the defence and the midfield. Why on earth would you play Mason Mount and Kovacic in a game like this? With Conte, who didn't have a good game.
But who would you have played, Jorginho?
Oh yeah, of course. You need to be solid in front of your back four. You just kind of like, Kovacic and Mount were so high on the pitch at times. You were wondering like, what's going on? Conte was left against one, against two, against three, against four. They were overrun in midfield. That's where they lost the game. It was so bad, and I'm very, very surprised and shocked that Lampard didn't change anything in the first half, defensively. But certainly even at halftime, because even if you're 3-0 down, at least do something a bit different. And they just didn't do that. For me, he got everything wrong from his lineup and then all the changes, all his lack of reaction during the first half. He was so quiet. I was sat behind him. He was so quiet. It looked like he was knocked out by the City's brilliance in that first half.
I got what he was trying to do with playing Timo Werner up front. I don't necessarily agree with it, but whatever. But I was surprised, as you said, that Augie, he didn't. City kept running through the middle. Why not just tighten up, defend narrower, and at least make them go around the sides? You know, at least try to vary things up, try to give them a different look. And inevitably, I mean, some outlets already reporting straight away after the final whistle, oh, his situation at Chelsea is under review. I'm going to ask you, should it be under review?
Well, I think it shouldn't on the basis that Chelsea are a top club, you know, that they're a club that wants to win things. And you ask about what Lampard could have done differently. Has he got the credentials or the coaching ability to do something differently? You know, we've seen
what, to defend Arrowhead?
To find a tactical plan to do something differently. Well, against the top coaches, Lampard always falls short. And you look at the caliber of coaches that Abramovich has appointed: Mourinho, Benitez, Ancelotti. You know, Antonio Conte. These guys have won things before. They've got a track record. Now Lampard, we know why Lampard got the job, because it was a situation that nobody else wanted at the time because they had the transfer embargo. It's the guy who came from Derby after 1 year's experience. Does he have the coaching ability to make a difference against Pep Guardiola, against Jurgen Klopp? And I'm not sure he does, because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any evidence of Lampard coming to a game with a tactical plan to change things. Now, he's got a massive 2 weeks. I mean, we can discount the game against Morecambe in the FA Cup because they'll win that. But is Lampard capable of going on the training ground, getting a group of players together, top players, and saying, we're going to do it differently, we're going to work on this plan? I've not seen any evidence that he has, and that's why I think he's under pressure, because Chelsea need a coach who can work with the best players. And while Allegri and Tuchel are available and waiting for jobs, Lampard's under pressure.
I can tell you what my understanding of the situation at Chelsea is. Obviously, he's under review. Everybody's continuously under review. That's not an issue. However, I think the club feel that they're invested in Lampard. I think their room to maneuver, given the amount they spent in the summer, is probably somewhat limited. I don't see them making a change unless they feel that they're not going to be in the Champions League next year or things start sliding badly. They're willing to give them all those mitigating factors, all the new players coming in, the big squad.
I hear that.
That is, my understanding is that is the club's attitude towards Lampard right now. Whether that'll change down the road, who knows? I gave you what I thought the club's attitude was. I think it's the best course of action as well, personally, because when you were you to bring somebody else in, you know, we talk about bringing in established coaches, inevitably Tuchel immediately gets linked.
And of course.
Personally, I think Tuchel would be a terrible choice for Chelsea, not because he's a bad coach, but because as a longtime Tuchelista, Tuchel kind of betrayed what he was all about at Paris Saint-Germain. And he did that out of necessity because he felt he needed to win, and he felt he couldn't be the coach he was at Mainz and the coach he wanted to be at Borussia Dortmund. Okay,
yeah.
So bringing in Tuchel as like a man manager type, like it was at Paris Saint-Germain, is not going to help Chelsea. I just want to be very clear on that. Not at the expense.
That's a good point.
You bring in Allegri, then you got to start thinking about money and signings, and do I do his track record with young players isn't that great? They've gone down this road. I think they need to stick with it, and they need to judge Lampard's ability to learn from the mistakes that he makes, that everybody makes.
Yeah, but you don't spend 250. You don't give Lampard those players to sack him 6 months later.
Precisely.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Other than that, you sack him in the summer. You bring Allegri in, and then you spend those 250 million, and then you're happier.
Right. Except if you bring in Allegri, you probably need to spend a little more money than at that point.
Yeah,
but is the reality.
You see what I mean?
But
you don't go and sack him 6 months after giving him that team.
I agree with you, and I think it's also going to depend again. I hate to bring up money all the time, but it's going to depend on finances and the Champions League as well, and whether they're in it or not. That's going to make a huge difference. Augie, Jules and I have talked about how one of the things that, you know, maybe has hurt Lampard this season is that it's taken him a long time to kind of settle on, not just on an 11, but really a type of setup, right? We've seen him have a good run with Abraham or Giroud up front, with a big center forward. We saw him, after having given Kai Havertz a bunch of opportunities, not quite phase him out, but he's not central to Chelsea's plans this season. He's settled pretty much on a back four and a goalkeeper, as Jules correctly pointed that out. So it was kind of coming together a little bit. Did it take him too long to reach that point? I mean, is that, if you were to put Lampard on trial, would that be one of the charges against him?
I don't think so. I just think that the players that have come in, he hasn't found a way to get the best out of them. I've seen Havertz play a few times, and I don't think Lampard knows what to do with him. I don't think Havertz knows what to do with himself either. Now, you talk about not bringing in Tuchel because he's not a man manager. Well, who says Chelsea need a man manager? They need a coach who can get the best out of players that have cost a club £220 million in the summer. You know, they've got Havertz isn't performing. Werner's not performing. Ben Chilwell wasn't performing yesterday. Mendy's had a good season. You could say that Ziyech has had a good season. But I do think that, you know, I just don't know if Lampard knows what to do. I mean, when Kevin Keegan quit as England manager in the toilets after the Germany game, because he said he didn't know what to do. Now, does Lampard know what to do at the highest level? Does he know how to get the best out of these top players? You know, it's okay getting the best out of the young players that he had to Derby and brought back at Chelsea, because young players will take notice of a coach that they idolise. But there's a difference between giving young players a chance and letting them progress and getting top quality players and making them better. And top quality players want to be made better. They want to work for coaches who make them better. And that, for me, is where Lampard struggles. I don't see many Chelsea players that have got better under his management, apart from the young kids who've been given the chance and thrived. Well, some have thrived, some have gone off. You know, Tomori's disappeared again. So, for me, Lampard's problem is that he has to prove that he's an elite coach. He's an elite former player. Is he an elite coach? And I'm not sure he is, and Chelsea need one.
I think he's learning. Certainly he's learning, but I'm just not sure he's got the time to learn. I'm just not sure Chelsea have the time to have a manager who's still learning, you know, who takes a lot from facing someone like Klopp or someone like Guardiola, saying, okay, yeah, this is what they did. You review the game and you say, oh, this is great. And I don't think they have the time, but that was their choice. And now, as we said, they have to stick with him. Otherwise, it makes no sense, even less. However, do you really start Ziyech after 4 weeks out? In a game like this, where he will have to do so much running, because you know that the opposition fullback, Zinchenko in that case, is going to run a lot, is going to come inside. I'm not sure Ziyech was ready to start a game like this.
What would you have done? Gone with Hudson-Odoi?
Hudson-Odoi has been really good. He's been one of the little positives of the Arsenal game, of the West Ham game to a certain extent as well. Why don't you start him? Why don't you start Giroud in a game like this? And again, we go back to Werner. Okay, Werner centrally, no problem. But not centrally on his own. This is just cannot work. Isolated too much. How many times is Ziyech going to cross the ball? They're never going to score with the crosses from Ziyech. It's not Timo Werner who's going to score with a header. It's not Pulisic who's going to score with a header.
Yeah, I think we can all point to very obvious mistakes that were made in this. I want to go back to City, though, as well, because, you know, like you said earlier, Jules, even if he'd gotten everything right, City in those 45 minutes.
It's the best I've seen from a team this season.
I mean, it's no exaggeration to say they could have scored half a dozen goals. Before they even scored, there was that chance that De Bruyne put wide. And I was thinking, like, wow, like, wait. I
thought, header.
No, you know my reaction was? I'm like, uh-oh. I hope it's not going to be one of those days for De Bruyne, right? Because if this happens, then, you know, Chelsea are going to win. And then, of course, he showed us that it wasn't one of those days. If you're right, the Foden header. I mean, there was a bunch of these. What I'm wondering about is, we see this, right? And we often talk about managers, or managers like to talk about giving concepts rather than specific tactics, and the concepts are going to be interpreted differently by players with different qualities and whatnot. When Jesus returns, or at some point, he's going to want to play with a center forward. Do they lose some of what they had in that game? People said De Bruyne played as a false nine, from what I could see on television. I don't know why we call it false nine when the guy's not a natural central striker, plays there. Because what I saw is, I saw a lot of Sterling through the middle. I saw a lot of Foden through the middle. I saw some De Bruyne. I saw some Bernardo Silva through the middle.
His average position is very much in the center, and Sterling on the right, and Bernardo. Okay,
so then why is he a false nine?
No. He called himself, he said himself, I was a deeper striker. A deep striker, he said.
A deep striker. Yeah. Okay. I love these semantics. But how does that translate when you go from a deep striker to Jesus or Aguero, who are very much strikers who you want to have lined up with the last defender, Mark?
It depends who you're playing against, doesn't it? It depends which team you're up against. I think, you know, Jesus and Aguero will stretch the game a bit more than De Bruyne would. It's horses for courses, and I think, you know, I've never been the biggest fan of Jesus, but you can't deny that he occupies defenders and he makes them work. So it's a different kind of a challenge that De Bruyne will pose.
But it's the Real Madrid game last season as well, when they played De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva as the sort of those deep strikers. And there's games where you play like this and it works. Thiago Silva after the game said, me and Zuma didn't know what to do, because there was a lot of time we had no one to mark. And then De Bruyne was dropping deep. And then what do we do? If we follow him, then there's too much space behind for Sterling and Foden and Bernardo and all of that. So you stay, but that means De Bruyne is on his own. He can take the ball. He can turn in midfield between the lines. And then suddenly we've got this wave. And there were waves after wave. I mean,
shouldn't that be then the point he drops off, Conte?
Jorginho. Yeah, but Conte can't do everything. He can't chase the ball.
And this is where Conte makes a decision and says, all right, Kova, come back. Mount, come back. Conte says, I know it might not be his personality, but he says, you know what? I'm a World Cup winner. I'm a leader. I may look like I'm 12 years old, but I'm not. I'm 27, 28, however old he is. I'm going to take charge now. Or Thiago Silva takes charge.
But that's not his...
This is it. Jules, Thiago Silva telling you that what to do, that's an indictment of Thiago Silva. He's been around the game for, 10, 15 years?
He just arrived.
This is rubbish. This is not Thiago Silva's call. This is not Conte's call. Lampard said after the game, we knew exactly how they're going to play. We knew De Bruyne would drop. We knew this. We knew that. Do something then.
But it is one of those central issues in football, right? When you receive a set of instructions from the manager, right? The game kicks off. The manager's on the sideline waving his arms. Yes, he can shout to the players, but he can't give detailed instructions. At some point, if you as a player on the pitch, as a veteran player, as a leader, like Thiago Silva or Conte is, that is the question I'm asking is, should he have said, guys, this isn't working. We're getting killed here. Let's regroup. Let's change things around a little bit. Let's not have Kovacic wander up the field.
But the game plan gap is Kovacic and Mount have to play really high on Rodri, on Gundogan. We press them high. Conte cannot say to Kovacic, okay, let's all drop 30 yards. That's not the game plan. It's not Conte's role. Lampard had to be on the touchline, him and Jordi Morris and all that stuff saying, what we wanted to do maybe was a good idea at the beginning and it kind of worked for 5-10 minutes. Now it's not working anymore. Let's change something. This is not Thiago Silva's call. This is not Conte's call.
I'm not blaming Thiago Silva, but I'm saying it is something where you wonder if a different team in those circumstances, the players might have felt empowered to make the changes. Because just as you were seeing it, we know Thiago Silva was seeing it on the pitch. And look, maybe they would have changed it and then City would have just come up with something else.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Still
beaten them. I'll tell you what, and I know Oggy made a really good call about, you know, it's Lampard against Guardiola. Lampard, I swear to you, was knocked out. He didn't react, didn't say anything for the whole first half after those first 10 minutes. Guardiola, even at 2-0 up or 3-0 up, he was shouting, Rodri, do this. John Stones, come here. And then he would talk to Stones for like 3 minutes on the touchline.
That was it. That moment with Stones, that was a classic example, Jules,
it was incredible.
The fact that Pep brought him over and he was so animated, telling Stones not to point. I didn't see Lampard do that with anybody.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You may be winning, Oggy, or you still have things to do. You still have stuff to tweak, to change. Lampard didn't do any of that. Whether they were on top in the first 10 minutes or whether they were having those wave against them and continue 3 in 15 minutes.
They certainly felt unprepared to me and unprepared to make adjustments. I want to go back to, obviously, a story that broke over the weekend involving Mendy. Jules, I expect you to stick up for, you know.
Yeah, it's never our fault. It's not the French words.
So essentially, according to the reports, and City have launched an internal investigation, he has apologized for this. But from what I could make out, and they're a bit confusing, he essentially had at least 3 different people who are not part of his household over to his house for New Year's Eve. Which is a breach of regulations against mixing households. Now, before people jump all over me, he's not the only footballer who's done it. We'll get to some of the others later. Yeah. There's also this whole, frankly, hilarious thing where he sends an Instagram video of himself to some escort agency saying he wants big bum Latina.
Coming to his house.
I mean, I know there's, I'm not one to judge. Escort agencies exist for a reason. It's entirely legal in this country. But equally, maybe a modicum of discretion if you're in the public eye and don't film yourself on camera. But there was also the weird story about those women outside his house. And he said, well, they were there in the middle of the night. You live closer to him than we
neighbor.
Do. I'm assuming it's pretty cold, right? So you wouldn't necessarily invite people to your house to leave them outside unless you were cruel. But hey, who knows? But this is what gets me, right? So he apologizes for it. City issue a statement that says they're disappointed. And look, it's especially germane at City. This is a club that had a COVID-19 outbreak, okay? Yeah. Not last year, not 10 years ago. They had one this past week. They had to cancel a game. Some of his teammates have tested negative, tested positive, at least 6 of them, right? A game has had to be postponed. More games could be postponed, which could be a serious problem for City because they don't have any free dates if they advance in all the competition, which would cost the club money. At worst, sorry, at best, this is hugely unprofessional behavior. And he apologizes for it. So I expect Pep Guardiola to say...
And the club says they're disappointed.
And the club has said they're disappointed. I expect Pep Guardiola to come out and simply say... We want to say he's a nice guy, which I've heard about him all the time. Yeah, he's a wonderful guy. He's funny. Ha, ha, ha. Very popular in the dressing room. He done screwed up, okay? And I'm done. He screwed up, you know, and I would have left him out of this game entirely if it wasn't that I had nobody to put on the bench. And I'm disappointed in him. Let's draw a line under it. Let's move on. Instead, what did he do? You want to tell me, Jules, what he did? He started talking about how, well, come on. Everybody's done stuff like this at New Year's. You know, most of you had people over.
Not me.
What the hell? Why?
I don't know.
Why
I
would
was
you
very
come out
surprised.
And do this?
I was very surprised. And you know, I really thought of all the chances that Mendy had in those 3.5 years at the club, all the stuff that he did, all the controversy, that there was a point where Pep would just explode and just go like, that's it, I've had enough, this is the last straw, you know, we can't take any more. In November, he was saying that the problem with Mendy is you're always waiting for him to be fit, for him to do this, for him to do that, and And then when there's room for criticism, he sort of like back him up. Maybe he's good management. I don't know.
Augie, I don't expect him to go out and read him the riot act in public. Maybe he did it in private. I don't know. I just expect him to say he did something unprofessional and stupid, which put his teammates at risk. And you should know how serious it is because we just had to shut down the training ground for 2 days and it might have derailed our season. And that's it. I'll talk to him privately. I'm disappointed, and I agree with what the club said. And leave it there. Why does he not do stuff like this? Why does he feel the need to go and talk about English people or everybody in the country going and having people over at New Year's and not following COVID guidelines and whatever when, you know, we've had, what, like 6 straight days of 50,000-plus cases in this country? Why?
Listen, I mean, this isn't the first time that Pep's reacted this way, and it is a strange one. I don't know what his characteristics are, whether it's because he doesn't want to be told to do what is the right thing at times. He doesn't want to have people be advised to do the right thing. I think he likes to be his own man, and at times he makes a fool of himself. But I'll tell you what I thought was slightly tricky yesterday, the fact that Mendy was on the bench. You know, if he tests positive in 2 or 3 days' time, Chelsea can have a real case to say, well, you know, you put our players, our bubble at risk. If I was Pep, I'd have left Mendy out of the squad yesterday just to play safe, because we don't know, you know, how much he's compromised his own health.
I can only presume that City would have had. I don't know when City found out about this, right? But I presume that they were. I mean, the story appeared on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So I presume that they knew about it on Saturday, if not before. I can only presume that City had the guy tested every hour on the hour, right?
You would think so, yeah.
I mean, after what they've been through,
yeah.
I'm defending City here, right? Let's be very clear, right? City had their bubble compromised once before. Now they have it by this guy exercising extremely poor judgment. I would presume they've done that. I mean, if not, and
it's a risk. Yeah. It was a risk they took. It was a risk that could backfire on City. I'm not saying it will, but I think it would have been wise to leave Mendy out of the picture altogether yesterday, just to avoid this potential scenario happening.
And we haven't even brought up the role model argument once. I'm going to put that to one side. Pep disagrees with it. Well, I'm not bringing this up because Mendy's a role model.
A long time ago.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up because Mendy is a professional who is part of a team that had its bubble compromised very, very recently, and he's risking the health of teammates and workers at the training ground, and he's risking costing his club a lot of money with this sort of behavior. So good for Mendy to have apologized. Disappointed that Pep went off on this thing and says, well, everybody does it. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, Jules, enough Premier League. Let's talk about the leaders in La Liga. Yeah. And, of course, it's neither Real Madrid nor Barcelona. It's Atleti. They've got two games in hand. They have a two-point lead. A last-ditch winner from Luis Suarez at the weekend against 10 men. And you can look at this both ways, right? We always have a stereotype with Atletico about, well, they're gritty, they're defensive, blah, blah, blah. But actually, in that game, you know, they were 1-0 up, opposition of a man sent off, you figure they're in control. They give up that counter, which is an un-Atleti thing to do.
Yeah.
The goal is deflected in, and then you have kind of that storming finish with Joao Felix setting up Luis Suarez, who makes himself invisible at the far post, as the great strikers tend to do.
Of course.
But what's your take overall on them? Because I do think that they have this other dimension to their game. And I think in this game, he moved away from the back five. He played Koke. Effectively, he's a deep-lying playmaker. He knew they were going to have a lot of the ball. Yeah, they only scored once. I think they could have scored more.
And, yeah, they are more.
And they look comfortable. They look very comfortable with the ball.
Yeah, and we said that's the evolution that we've seen this season, where they play certainly higher up on the pitch. And like Simeone has explained, when you have Luis Suarez in your team, you can't play like the old Atleti because he can't run anymore. Certainly not as much as you would need him if you were playing like before. And we've seen that. There's a few things there. Usually they're so good defensively that once they take the lead, you don't come back in that game. Opposition team don't come back. They're still by far the best defense in La Liga, and rightly so, deservedly so, and everything. However, in that game, somehow, as you said, you know, Alaves came back. They hit the post before scoring as well. And then you thought, oh, okay, they do a Real Madrid in a way. But they still find another gear to still go and get that win at the last minute with Luis Suarez. By the way, I have to put my hands up because I never thought that he would have that kind of impact on that team, really, that he have those numbers. And they might not last.
Top scorer in La Liga.
And they might not last. And he had COVID in November, which I think he really struggled to come back from it. As we say, he's not fit. He probably has one knee left. And yet, to have that impact, which I have to say, I didn't see it coming when they signed him in the summer, and I was a bit critical of that signing, you know, questioning it a little bit how much efficiency he would bring to that team. But I got it wrong.
I want to talk about the point about, you said, you know, they're still very strong defensively, right? For a long time, okay, and obviously they have a goalkeeper who, in my opinion, if he's not the best of the world, if he's not number one, he's number 1A in the world, in Jan Oblak. However, at the back, all those years when they were winning, people said, oh, well, it's, you know, they have Godin, the defensive leader. Godin's not been there now for 18 months, right? Jimenez, who looked fantastic for a while, the heir to Godin. He had his injuries. He's been in and out. You know, you look at this, and you don't look at Felipe and say, oh, look, he's, you know, Van Dijk and Upamecano and rolled into one, right? It seems as if whoever's in there, even Savage, you know, fine player, but you're not going to write home about
completely.
Him. And yet, they're much greater defensively than the sum of their parts.
But it's the collective strength, isn't it? Defensively, more than having the best centre-back there who would just boss it all. I think it's that relationship between that back four, that back five, or that back three, depending. I like this hybrid. He's not the first one to do it, but I think he's good where Amoso plays a bit central, a bit on the left. Carrasco can play as a wing back or not really as a wing back. But I think it's all that work they must do on the training pitch that even with good players, not great players, you can have a great defense. And if you have great players, your defense is great. But to have good players making a great defense, I think you deserve a lot of credit.
And the thing that strikes me about Atleti, obviously we made such a big deal when Diego Costa left. And, you know, people in Spain are saying, well, now you just have Suarez. He's older. He gets injuries. You know, do they need to bring another striker? But they have no money. I mean, they have other people. They have the guy Sabonic, who I don't know if he's like the security guard at the training. You know, I never see him. But
is Kalinic still in the contract?
Maybe he'll come back.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't know.
But I kind of wonder, does that matter? I mean, do you need because it seems to me that the way Suarez plays is so specific. And yes, it's great to have a range of different people. And Diego Costa's quality, you know, he's a center forward, Suarez is a center forward, but they're very different, right, in the way they play.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not even, it's almost like Diego Costa leaves, like Diego Costa wouldn't have been Suarez's replacement. When Suarez goes out, you still have to play differently. Am I wrong in suggesting that maybe you can play with the little guys, or not the little, but, you know, like the lighter guys,
but then
Correa,
Suarez,
Llorente, João Félix.
They're not the most efficient, though, are they? Correa and even Llorente, who's done incredibly well in that sort of second striker position, Lemar, João Félix, they can't score you 20 goals a season. So if Suarez, and we saw it against Lokomotiv Moscow in the Champions League, the two games where they had loads of chances, they just could not finish it. They were just not clinical enough. And I wonder if there's a point where if something happens to Suarez or his level drops a bit or there's something, and then you're like, who's going to score me the goals now? Because Llorente can come in and score a few, but...
You know my views on finishing. No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, like, and one is enough.
I'm not... No, but more generally, I think we overrate the notion of finishing. You know, statistically, there are very, very few strikers who regularly outperform expected goals.
Yeah,
conversion rate is kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, like, because... It is what it is. You get in a good position, you create a good chance. Whether it falls to Suarez or whether it falls to João Félix, generally, speaking on the main, makes very little difference. I don't know. I just looked at it, and I kind of like the idea of gritting it out. You know, you still have the set pieces, which they're very good at. I'm gritting it out that way.
Yeah, maybe, why not? I like the fact, I just like what they're having now. And I think it would be a shame if... Because something happened to if something happens to Suarez and you don't have a backup striker, proper striker, I mean, like a proper number nine, and then you miss out on maybe La Liga or maybe going far in the Champions League or something, just because that planning just hadn't worked out. That's all. Because when I see Thomas Lemar and how much he's improved and how much now he's playing with far more freedom, more confidence to what he was before, I'm like, okay, there's clearly something very good happening there.
Yeah.
And then I think it would be a real shame if you just don't go and get someone on loan now, or I don't know, just find a way of getting another body that could help you if you need at times in what is a very, very congested season.
I expect they're going to try to do something, because also they have some assets, so I think that they're open to moving. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, Lemar, they played a ton for, and he's coming good.
He's
played well this season, but clearly he's not somebody that, you know, like they have other players who can do what he does.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're tempted to do something like that, or if they'll just get on the phone to Uncle George and say, hey, help us out here.
What about Kieran Trippier, by the way, with the suspension suspended?
Yeah, so let's explain this for those who might have missed it. So Kieran Trippier was charged by the FA in England. Help me out with the details here, but it was because it was over his move to Atletico Madrid,
yeah,
right?
For betting.
He placed a bet on an exchange, or somebody placed a bet. It wasn't him. Somebody placed a bet on an exchange after speaking to him that the move was happening. He was a free agent at the time, so obviously he knew where he was going to go.
Yeah.
And that was found to have violated rules.
Yeah, betting
and
rules.
He received, it took a long time for the judgment to come out, because the FA, when they want to, move at a snail's pace. It's a 10-week worldwide ban, and now FIFA have suspended it.
For their own investigation, I guess, right?
I think, pending their own.
Yeah.
Are you okay with this?
FIFA are going to look into it, and then FIFA can say to the FA, actually, you know, this is wrong what you did, so we're going to lift the suspension. I mean, if FIFA starts getting involved in those kind of cases, that is typically something that happened, you know, in England on English soil with English FA rules, betting rules that are in England that might be different in another country. I don't know, but if FIFA starts looking into this then you could ask them to change everything.
Again, and I'm not 100% about on this, and so I'm not making a big deal out of it. But I believe he had the right to appeal it to FIFA. Which is what he did.
Yeah.
You know, in the same way you have a right, ultimately, you could ultimately take it to CAS, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
But the interesting thing is that, you know, obviously with him suspending it, it makes a big difference if he's going to be banned for 10 weeks in July and August. If he's banned for 10 weeks now. When they have a chance to win La Liga.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Enough, Cholo. More than enough, in fact. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
It was always going to be a contrast in styles when Spurs took on Leeds United. Jules, was it just a case of Mourinho's smarts and that old cliche about Bielsa's naivete?
There was a bit of that. There was also a lot of mistakes made quite early by quite inexperienced Leeds defense. You saw Ilan Meslier, who I love dearly, who is French. But you just can't do that against a team like that. You're going to get punished. If you're Alioski, you can't foul like this in the box. Whether you want to have a discussion or whether a penalty, whether outside the box, inside, on the line. The line, by the way, is the box anyway. It's just, yeah, it looked at times he was really men against boys. And I think maybe the score is a bit harsh on Leeds. But that's the reality.
Spurs though. Executed well. Yeah,
it's just the efficiency.
They also had, you know, they're not going to outwork. I think that's a big thing. Work rate. They had 2 extra days rest. I don't go on crush Bielsa and call him naive, man. This is the way he plays, and he's built a career.
Exactly. Arsenal beat West Brom 4-0 in the driving snow. It's 3 wins in 3 now for Mikel Arteta, and they're just 6 points away from the Champions League places. You see?
It's amazing turnaround. Amazing when you go and you trust the kids. Now, as you know, I'm a big fan of any musical act out of Detroit. And, you know, no, seriously, you look at what they produced, from Eminem to Kid Rock to the Insane Clown Posse. The Temptations are special. And I had actually rewritten these lyrics, and then obviously for copyright reasons, I can't use them.
But feel
free to sing this in the shower, you know, because basically he's got sunshine on a snowy day. When it's cold outside, he's got Kieran on his way. I guess you'll say, what makes Mikel feel this way? Tierney. Talking about Tierney. Look, I have a whole other verse dedicated to Bukayo Saka, but
for next week.
Yeah, I'm not going to sing it, but I like to think this is what warmed Arteta's heart that day.
Yeah.
But you know what? I go back to this. You see this, Tierney. You see Saka. You see Emile Smith Rowe. I actually counted them up, right? Arsenal's big ticket items, I love. I'm monothematic. Keep going back to this, right? This 3 wins in 3.
Yeah.
David Luiz. Not there.
Yeah.
Willian played 20 minutes in those 3 games. Pepe played 20 minutes in those 3 games. Thomas Partey, not there. Gabriel, got no problem with him, but not there. Alba started 2 of those games, didn't play particularly well.
Nope.
You know what? Maybe if you believe a little more in those, maybe if you put your little nuts away for the winter, and then you made some big signings that make a difference later. A little more faith in that.
Yeah, maybe.
Could work. Huh?
And my boy Laka is amazing. You're amazing.
You get the best in Lacazette.
You
there you go.
You know it.
Well, we should also mention William Saliba.
Yes. Because going on loan to Nice.
Wait, was he ever at Arsenal? Oh, yeah.
He was.
He was on
it was a frustrating time. Now he's going to play a lot. And he'll be able to show that he's a very, very good, very promising young defender. And hopefully he can go back to Arsenal and finally play.
He's fit, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Real Madrid have 41% possession at home and beat Celta de Vigo 2-0. Jules, I guess this is the new normal right now for Zidane. Keep it tight, risk very little, and grind your way forward.
We wanted a response. We said a reaction after the disappointing draw against Elche, and I think we got it. This time they were more focused after the break. And like in previous game, they even scored quite early in the second half, like they did in the first half too. Asensio and Vasquez were good. Benzema was good. He was more solid, even without Sergio Ramos. It's positive to keep a clean sheet against a team like Vigo, who's done really well.
And they have the mighty Iago Aspas, Chacho Coudet, and everybody.
Yeah, since Coudet came in, it's a different team.
Yeah.
The thing is, you take it.
You can't play like this all season long. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that...
I don't think they had to play differently to win that game, and that's what they wanted.
I want to see them play the way a big team plays at some point.
But they can do that.
I think maybe he feels he needs a fit Eden Hazard to do that. I don't know. But you're not going to go all season with this.
Ronald Koeman leaves out my boy Antoine Griezmann again, and Barca look really good for a while, really? I mean, that's your question. But they only managed 1 goal against bottom of the table, Huesca.
They did look really good. They created a lot of chances. They didn't take those chances. And then it gets nervy at the end because they were just 1-0 up.
Yeah.
It's Koeman. He's got players out. Did you like that, bringing on Mingueza right back at the end?
I was like, what's going on? I was shouting the television. I'm like, oh, my God.
But look, I got to be fair. I worry when teams don't create chances. They created chances in this game. I know Huescar bottom of the table, but they created chances. That's what matters. No Benacer, no Ibra, no Theo Hernandez, but Rafael Leao scores a great goal and Milan stay top, heading into their crunch game with Juventus. Jules, it's 29 matches unbeaten now.
You're right, and they were down to 10 men as well, and they still... Tonali sent off early on. They played an hour with 10 men. I thought they were still good and solid. And you're right, Rafael Leao with a lovely goal. I mean, there was some cracking goals this weekend in Serie A.
Zaccagni, wow.
And Zielinski as well. But yeah, really strong. I mean, we say the confidence, even if something happens that you didn't expect, like the red card so early, you're strong, you're confident. And that game on Wednesday will be very special, I think. Juventus, they won 4-1. Against Udinese, as Cristiano Ronaldo scores 2 and gives an assist as well. Gab, it's their worst start in years, but did you see a sign of protest? It feels like I've asked you that about progress, maybe every 2 weeks in the start of the season, and sometimes we think there is, and then they go back to struggling.
I'm going to be careful because I don't want to upset the Ronaldo fanboys, because on the show last night, I didn't go on and on about him. Look, Ronaldo scoring 2 goals and providing 1 assist. He does that most weeks. That's not news.
No,
that's news. News is man bites dog, not dog bites man.
Yeah.
Okay. Cristiano Ronaldo is not a problem. He's not an issue at Juventus.
No.
He is purely an asset. What I think was interesting and what was important was Federico Chiesa scored. And I think Chiesa is a crucial part of Juventus's future, given what they've invested on him. And by the way, Cristiano Ronaldo, since people love going back to this, 18 months from free agency, you know, he's not going to be here in 5 years' time, presumably. We assume, right? Chiesa, if everything goes to plan, will be. So that's what matters.
But when you get the ball back so high up on the pitch, it's then easier to score goals and create chances. Like they did.
Yeah, and look, Ronaldo played without Morata, and I think he performs better when he's with Morata. So all credit to Ronaldo.
Yeah.
But it's not just always about him.
No.
And I think, you know, Dybala got on the score sheet, which maybe makes a difference for him. It was garbage time goal, but whatever. I think it's encouraging. I still don't see them dominating the midfield and having that quick passing, and that's what they need.
Yeah.
Manchester United beat Aston Villa on Friday, which feels like a lifetime ago, but since some portion of United fans seem more interested in Jadon Sancho than in actual, you know, football games. Let's talk about Borussia Dortmund CEO Hans-Joachim Watzke telling Kicker that Sancho was ready to move, but that the deal didn't go through because United wouldn't meet the asking price and also insisted on paying in installments.
What is it? Is it charity? Did United think that Borussia Dortmund were charity, where it was like a boot sale, that you just go in and say, oh, you want the money straight in, 120 million? No, we can only give you 80 and in four installments. That just doesn't happen. If you want Sancho, you pay what you ask to pay, and then that's it. If you don't want him, then move on and go somewhere else.
But I don't know why people are so fascinated with this story. They made a decision. Maybe United were hoping that Sancho would push more for a move.
Maybe.
Whatever. Enough. It didn't happen. Maybe he'll sign next year.
Yeah,
maybe
but it's, if you want a player, you pay. You pay. That's the way it is. You try to negotiate. Yeah. If you can't go your way, then you pay, or you just leave it. I think it's a shame because they could do with him. But anyway, sticking with United, Edinson Cavani received a 3-match ban for his social media post. Your thought, Gab? We talked about it a bit before when it happened, but...
We did. Now it's come out. And I thought United's statement was interesting because they accept the fact that they had no choice.
Yep.
Based on the way the rules are, they had no choice but to give him a 3-match ban, and they weren't going to contest it because the rules say you made a disparaging remark that brought the game into disrepute, and it was aggravated because it made reference to ethnic origin or race. And that's it. There's no mitigating factors. What I would say here to this is it's a stupid law. It's a badly written law. It doesn't do what it was intended to do. This was a case where somebody came out and a guy didn't know. He was using it towards a friend. He wasn't using it towards attacking anybody. He immediately took the post down. He didn't make excuses. He immediately apologized. And if you're going to go and treat this like somebody racially abusing somebody else, I think your law isn't doing what it was intended to do.
And now he has to go on a course. How patronizing is like that? He doesn't need a course. He knows what, you know, racism is. Just tell him what is different in this country compared to his country, and then he's fine.
I would hope he's learned now. Erling Haaland returns for Borussia Dortmund, who beat Wolfsburg 2-0. Jules, this was nervier than it should have been, right?
He always is. You can change manager. It's always the same. You know, they were just 1-0 up, and they score late with Jadon Sancho, by the way, first goal of the season. He would be happy with that.
Nice little spin move on Octavio.
Spin move. He missed a chance in the first half, but I think this would be good. But yeah, that's the way I think the season goes for Dortmund. That's it. Bayern got 2 goals down against Mainz, who have only won 1 before this season. 8 games in a row where Bayern don't have the lead in a game, but they're coming back and won 5-2. Do you see the glass half full or half empty?
All right, I want to be clear on this. I want to put a little bit of time to this because the glass is most definitely half empty. You know, if you're one of those people who just looks at the highlights, oh, look, 5 goals, yeah, buy it. Oh, look, they're so mentally strong. Not only did they go 2-0 down, they could have been 3-0 down because Mainz hit the post, right?
Yeah.
Poor Hansi Flick, he had to take Joshua Kimmich, his most important midfielder, get him to play right back because your boy, Benjamin Pavard, was getting
so
ripped
bad.
To shreds. Jerome Boateng, ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they come back because they have better players. They're playing Mainz. The only reason Mainz aren't bottom of the Bundesliga is because Schalke Gelsenkirchen happens to be in Germany. Mainz has won 1 game all season. They were beaten time and again by the counterattack, the ball over the top. There's reason to be worried. There's reason to be concerned.
I just think I know they lost to Hoffenheim 4-1, and that was. But they should lose to Mainz 3-0, and maybe that would be
the wake up call that they need.
Exactly.
Now, how about some love for Leicester City? James Maddison shines as they win 2-1 at Newcastle. Jules, they're just 1 point off the top.
Yeah.
And this was against a team that likes to park the Steve Bruce busmobile.
I mean, they're bad. Newcastle are bad. I know at the end, Carroll scored a good goal and then they pushed, but they're bad. But Leicester were great. And I think Youri Tielemans is so underrated, not spoken enough about because he's an incredible player. And seeing him at that level with Ndidi and Maddison as well, and it's really good. I just don't know if they can keep it up that way all season to really push and be there in the last few games. You know, the Premier League would be won on much lower point total than last season and the last 3 seasons. So, of course, they have a chance. I'm just not sure if they can go all the way.
How much better is this team, do you think, than the 15-16 team?
Oh, much better.
They're a lot
much
more.
Much better. Okay. A lot more talented. But, you know, and so Yunshu came back, played the last 10 minutes, which is obviously very good for them too. Inter go behind at Crotone, have a storm back to win 6-2 with 8 wins in a row. Lautaro scored a hat-trick and Lukaku looked great, although, you know, little...
Picked up a muscular injury,
which is not good. But yeah, Conte is grumpy again. I was going to say, is it because of Lukaku's injury or is it because Giroud hasn't arrived yet?
No, I think he's grumpy because of Arturo Vidal. Now, you know, we talked about how Arturo Vidal is Antonio Conte's spirit animal. I mean, this was. You want to talk about somebody who is so wound up, so on edge? You know, belongs in a straitjacket. He gives up a penalty, right? After he won the ball in midfield and everything, gives a penalty, Stonewall penalty. Right?
Yeah,
no argument.
100%.
Keeps arguing and arguing.
Like he always does.
You can actually see this because they on the feed where they don't play the crowd noise. You can hear Antonio Conte right shouting like, Arturo, like. Just play and stop breaking balls. Except he said something else. Yeah. It was even worse. I mean, and then he takes him off at halftime. Dude, you're an experienced player. I know you're on edge and the adrenaline and everything. Enough. There's a point where you hurt the team.
But you remember in the Champions League when he got sent off for 2 yellow cards for moaning twice in the space of... Like, you know, of 15 seconds. Look, you can't rely on him. I don't understand why.
Listen, Conte... We've been critical of him for believing too much in CVs and whatever. If he realizes that Arturo Vidal like this doesn't help his team, and I think he did realize it, and he thinks he can manage him, more power to him. I mean, there's a point when you become a real liability to the team, you know, no matter how cool your mohawk looks and how much of a warrior 100%. Conte thinks you are. Another postponement in the Premier League as Burnley v Fulham is off.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's not just Monday. Jules, we've had Kvaratskhelia from the likes of Lancini, Lamela, Milivojevic, Mitrovic, Lo Celso too. Yeah. Okay, if I mention
him
too.
Yeah, you have to mention him, even if he's your boy. I just don't know what's wrong with these people. They think it's okay to gather together in our same household and have parties and dinners.
I don't. The one that I don't get was also the Argentine parishada, right? That they had or whatever the hell that was. But which, by the way, you see the picture they have. They're there with all their friends. Santa Claus is there. Yeah. Shouldn't Santa Claus be gone by now?
Well, I thought he would be resting in the North Pole, but you know. But it's like if I said to you,
don't take pictures if you're gonna do it. Right? Yeah, first of all, don't do it.
Don't do it. But if I said to you and producer Freddy, okay, come to my house for New Year's Eve. We'll have a nice dinner, French raclette.
I'll live stream it.
Yeah, but what would you would say? Oh, Jules, come on. That's not, you know, we can't do that. As much as we would love to all be together, we can't. We'll wait for better times and we'll do it next year or another time.
And I think it's even worse in the case of Mitrovic because, again, you've had an outbreak at your club.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as Mandy. People are sick at your club, okay? Yeah. So, you know, Just own up and act like a pro.
Crazy. Leipzig stay hot on Bayern's heels in the Bundesliga, beating Reno Matarazzo. Stuttgart 1-0 thanks to Dani Olmo. By the way, Matarazzo and Nagelsmann obviously working together, Offenheim being good friends. It was lovely to see them and everything. You really like him, Gab, don't you?
Who, Matarazzo or Dani Olmo?
Both. And Nagelsmann.
I had the opportunity to sit down with Reno Matarazzo. His story is pretty amazing.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know, after Bob Bradley, he is only the second American coach to work in a top five league. And obviously Stuttgart, despite being newly promoted, are flying.
Doing well, yeah, really well.
I thought Nagelsmann got the best of him. I don't forget the 1-0 scoreline. I thought they were substantially better. I think Dani Olmo's goal is big, and I wonder if it signals maybe a bit of a turning of the corner for him because he's such an incredible story.
Yeah. Right?
A Barcelona kid, goes to Dinamo Zagreb, plays in the Champions League, moves to...
Does really well there.
Does really amazing, well, yeah. Moves to Leipzig for a ton of money. I love the fact that this is somebody who challenged himself at a young age because I'll tell you what, you know, being in La Masia, you get a certain type of education, a very good education, and you say, you know what, I want to experience something totally different. Yeah. I go to Croatia, and now I go to Leipzig. I mean, talk about CV. He's still a young man. Mm. He hasn't fully harnessed his potential, but he can be a real value added. And I think he's, for me at least, a big part of the reason why, like you, I have Leipzig as Bundesliga champions.
Yeah.
Rangers are now 19 points clear at the top in the Scottish Premier League, but Jules, you pay more attention to this than I do, so let me ask you, is that Jurgen Klopp's successor we're seeing in Steven Gerrard, or is that too easy?
It's a bit easy, but it might be because Jurgen has still a few years, so Stevie, I think, can keep working and improving and learning.
Do they play like Liverpool?
They don't, but they don't have the same players. But I think
Klopp didn't have the same players when he was at Mainz.
Yeah, but still, it's not the same free-flowing attacking football. In that game, for example, there was only three shots on target, all came from Celtic. And then Rangers won 1-0 on the McGregor own goal. But they're solid. They're the best defence by far in Europe. They won 20 and drawn 2 in their 22 games this season in the league. They're so well-structured. They're well-disciplined. They've got a lot of energy on the pitch in the way they play. And most importantly, I think, he's improving players. You know, Ryan Kent is a really good player. All around in that team, he's made such a good job. And it's great to see them there. And, of course, they haven't won the league yet. But if they don't now, I mean...
That is a big lead.
It's a big lead, even with three games in hand. Napoli destroyed Cagliari 4-1 as Piotr Zielinski steals the show. But Gab, no Victor Osimhen, who tested positive for COVID after flying to Nigeria to party without a mask. Again, not very clever from our boy. I mean, we love him, but that's disappointing.
I mean, I don't know what to say because we loved him. We loved him, and then he got hurt, and now he's on his way back, and then he decides, oh, it's my birthday. Let me go home to Nigeria, which of course you're entitled to do. And then video emerges of him partying, and it looked like he had a really good time, but he's tested positive. Sure. He has apologized, which is what you should do if you contract COVID by putting yourself at risk, hint, to some of these other people. It's a shame. It's a shame because I think Napoli could really mount a title challenge.
Are you still sure they're going to win the league?
Well, they have a game in hand,
okay,
right?
Okay,
so
okay.
So they get those extra 3 points.
Yeah,
who knows?
Let's see.
The hype never stops, and neither does the hope. Mauricio Pochettino held his first training session for Paris Saint-Germain. Jules, you were there watching the live stream from beginning to end.
I loved it.
How excited are you?
So excited. I'm so excited. I mean, okay.
Did he put the cones down correctly?
Yeah, I would have put the cones myself, to be fair. I could have done anything he wanted.
Does he have the jumper that says MP?
Yeah, he's got everything MP. His son has SP, of course, Sebastian. It's good to see him back, and I think there's a lot of us who love him.
Are his friends, the Mati gang, are they all still there too? All these assistants from Spurs and stuff?
Yeah, Jesus Perez, Anthony Jimenez, and Miguel D'Agostino, Mickey, all of them are there. There's a lot of question marks, of course, you know, how the players will respond. Yesterday already, he said that time to them, let's stop laughing, let's stop talking, let's focus, this and that. So I think the discipline will be back. For how long, I don't know. How is Neymar going to respond to that, and Kylian Mbappe and all of that, but let's see. For now, I'm loving it.
Is it true that he's going to grow his hair long again, and like, he can like just totally regress to what he was like
captain?
Yes,
I would love to. Can you
how
imagine?
Awesome would that be? Man. Now I tell you what, guys, when you're Pochettino's age, unless you're Willie Nelson, you generally don't look good with, or a professional wrestler, you don't look good with long hair.
And I would think that Poch knows that. I think we're safe, you know. Let's see what it is. Eibar beat Granada 2-0, and Brian Hill scores his first two goals. Gab, why is everybody so excited about him on loan from Sevilla, of course?
It's weird. You get certain players who...
I saw him a little bit
last year, and, you know, you talk to scouts, people do this for a living, and they just go... Just go insane about him. They're like, oh, Brian. These were his first two goals. Two really good goals. The joke, somebody said, he's the most talented Sevilla player in the Premier League, in La Liga, and he doesn't play for them. Now, that is saying a lot if that's the case. But look, another one for you, if you play FIFA, maybe, or whatever.
Or Football Manager.
It's obviously, if you haven't heard of him, check him out. He is a bit special. Still very, very young.
Yeah, of course.
And then really not very developed.
Very skinny still, yeah.
But one to look out for.
Yeah.
It's a melancholy farewell to Jerry Marsden, who passed away age 78. Jules, he was the front man of Jerry and the Pacemakers, but football fans around the world know him for one particular song.
Of course, Gab, is the You Never Walk Alone that they sing at Liverpool, of course, but not just in Liverpool, in Dortmund, at Celtic Park, and maybe the most iconic football song ever, would you say?
Probably. One that's been adopted. And, you know, like a lot of things in England, people think it dates back to like pre-war. No, it's not. It's from the 60s,
yeah, 60s,
basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Remarkable.
But really sad, really sad. Barcelona presidential candidate Emili Russo says that his plan is to persuade Messi to stay and to take a pay cut and surround him with young talent, Kylian Mbappe, Erling Haaland. Does that make sense to you, Gab? And obviously Minghella, the agent that brought a few big names to Barcelona in the past, a long time ago, would be involved as well.
Yeah, he said he's already spoken to Mino Raiola. Look, these are elections. These are politicians.
Yeah.
You know what, Emil? If you can go to Messi and say, hey, look, why don't you take a big pay cut and then you can go to Paris Saint-Germain and Borussia Dortmund and Haaland and Mbappe and say, hey, guys, come on over, play with Messi. And you can do it while balancing the books, more power to you.
But does he expect Messi to pay... to pay himself the transfers of Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland? The club can't pay them, so someone else will have to pay them.
I don't know, but these are, you know, it sounds like a nice idea.
Yeah, I love it.
Free PlayStation 5s for everyone. Right, that brings us to an end this week. Jules, how about we come back on Thursday, do this again?
Yeah, there's a big game in Italy as well on Wednesday night.
I believe so. Yeah. Could be Milan and Juventus on Wednesday. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.